Welcome to the IRIS podcast. You are listening to a talk as part of the Emerging Technologies Conference. This talk was recorded on the 25th of February 2011. Anna Fowley, Chief Executive of the SSSC, Conference Introduction, Why Now? Imperatives for Change and the Role of the SSSC.
Thank you very much to Alison, and thank you to all of you for coming along. I think this is a dead exciting event to be at. And I suppose from Alison's opening remarks, she felt the same, I think, as I did about this. I'm kind of thinking, you'll be saying to yourselves, why is she up there talking about learning technology? And I'm kind of wondering that myself. And I have to say, my children fell about laughing when I told them that I was going to be speaking about technology. I'm probably the only person in this room who's never even touched a PlayStation other than to put it back in its box and tidy it away. I'm not on Facebook yet. And I'm one of the dying breed, I suppose, of people who's actually paid a princely sum of £750 a year in my first job to use new technology to compensate for having to use a computer. And can you imagine that now? And I remember when the first computer arrived in my school, and to see it, you had to be studying sixth year studies maths even to see it. You know, and you think now, my kids, and it was huge, it was in a hut of its own. You know, my kids have grown up with computers. They use them all the time at school. They use smart boards, all sorts of different technologies. They do presentations from primary one. They, you know, using PowerPoints and all that. I go home, you know, to find grace with having done another presentation on Cristiano Ronaldo or David Villa. And how fabulous their goals are. And she can download stuff from YouTube and put it in her presentations and all. And it's just, you know, it's absolutely fantastic. And I am now, as you can tell, totally besotted with my iPhone and my iPad. So even I'm getting there. But I suppose for me, what told me recently that this is not a generational thing anymore, technology is absolutely for everyone, is I got a text note from my 77-year-old father in text speak, which again causes children to fall about laughing, but telling me how much he loves his Kindle, which we got him for his Christmas. So, do you know, who would have predicted that? Because he used to say, there's wee envelopes coming up on the screen on this thing. It's because I'm texting you. And he said, oh, stop it. So even someone who's 77 is quite traditional, is just totally into it. And I think not only nowadays, not only is it kind of nice and it's quite a sort of in thing to do, to use technology to support learning, to support practice and social services, it's absolutely essential. If we don't use it, it's like expecting people to type letters with carbon copies rather than using word processing or email. And I do remember doing the carbon copies too, these to check them. You have to do it again if you got it wrong. Social services are, I think, facing an increasing demand for services in general, but that coupled with, for more complex services, coupled with really high expectations from service users and from the general public about the quality of services. But that's all happening at a time when we're seeing resources decreasing, and that's only going to continue in the foreseeable future. People who use services, workers, employers, learning providers, expect to be able to interact pretty much instantly and at a time that suits them, with each other, with service providers, with regulators, with government. They expect to be able to access really up-to-date, easy to understand information, and to be able to share experiences and views. And all of us in public services are in a challenging environment where the development of the workforce is viewed as essential to delivering high-quality services, but at the same time, it's a cuttable expense. And I really believe that making sure that workers have the skills, the confidence and the knowledge they need to provide excellent services is a fundamental right that the public have to expect from employers and from people like us. The public will expect continuously improving and reshaped services. And in fact, a new technology-enabled approach to learning and development and to service delivery is the only way that we're going to be able to meet those challenges that we face right now. For quite a while now, I've been turning up at events and reading in the media statements from politicians and from people in posts like mine saying that we're facing challenging times, that we're at the start of a difficult journey. But how many times And how many times have you seen all the kind of the scary upside down triangles about the economic downturn and all that? But we can't keep talking about those hard times as if they're in the future. They're here. They're right now. And similarly, we can't keep talking about new technology as if it's something somehow untested or it's only for boffins. It's not. It's fabulous. It's a wee bit scary, I have to admit, but it's a fabulous fact of life. So let's just get on with it. I can't remember, but I think, was it the $6 million man that said, we have the technology? But whoever it was, whoever said it, that was quite a while ago now. So let's just start believing in it and let's start using it properly. Today we're going to hear from a whole range of people who are going to tell us about how technology is being used to great effect in perfectly normal situations, in classrooms, in social work, even in the civil service. And it's not Star Trek, it's not tomorrow's world, it's real life and it's right now. And that means as a sector we need to think differently, we need to think creatively to find solutions that meet the needs of those who rely on our services. At the SSSC, for example, we've developed the Workforce Solutions Portal, which you'll see referred to on our stand out there, and e-learning solutions as well, which my colleague Keith Quinn will be talking about later on in the programme. Keith demoed that recently at a Cross UK Sector Skills Council event, and our colleagues from Northern Ireland, Wales, and even England were impressed. This doesn't happen often, it has to be said. Well, not, they won't admit it often, but they really were very impressed. And what it means is that individuals and employers are able to identify their own learning needs, their organisational learning needs, and the potential solutions to those needs online. And they can make their way through the labyrinth that is the National Occupational Standards, the labyrinth that is qualifications, and find the route that is best for them. And learning can be delivered using devices like PSPs, which means that people can access it again and again in their own time, in their own place, and at their own speed. And I'm not going to go on about that because Keith will do it far better than I can. And as many of you will know and believe, I'm sure, the SSSC can be viewed as quite a traditional organisation, particularly to the outside. But even we have made little steps into the world of Facebook and Twitter. And particularly we started doing that around the CARE accolades to stimulate interest. And that's been really effective. And what I would say is it doesn't replace some of the traditional methods, like events like this. It doesn't replace that. But it means that we're getting better, I think, in public services at galvanising opinion, at stimulating debate and genuinely engaging with people. The social media, if you think about it, have been used really effectively to organise protest, which is partly why I think some people in public service organisations came a wee bit late to the party. It felt like quite a hostile world. I went to a Festival of Politics event about 3 years ago now that was about using social media to consult with the public. And several MSPs were there, and they were talking about how well they thought they were using it. Now, this was just after Patrick Harvey had been caught out tweeting from a dinner at Bute House, which you might remember, which was quite amusing. But all of those people then were talking about how they were using it to issue information. They were giving information, and they were particularly using it to target young people. And I think that's missing the point. And actually, some of the young people in the audience were quite resentful of that because they felt they were, you know, stuff was being bombarded at them and they weren't getting the opportunity to inform it or to say no to it. But the real advantage of social media and this interactive world that we're in is that it's two-wayness, I suppose. And in fact, it's not just two-way, it's multi-way. It's the multi-wayness of it. It gives us in public services a real opportunity and a duty, in fact, I think, to genuinely engage with people and to help them to engage with each other, not just to give out a message. But it does raise one spectre for me. There seems to be, and that event, I suppose, the Festival of Politics event and the young people speaking at it really kind of brought it into sharp relief for me. And in fact, listening to my own teenage daughter, there's a perception, I think, especially amongst younger people, that social media is a private space. It absolutely isn't. And the information out there is irretrievable. No matter how secure you make your own space, you're reliant on everyone else in your address book to protect that privacy. And that, to be frank, is why I haven't ventured into the world of Facebook yet. I'm kind of a bit like Alison with Twitter. I'm looking at it from the outside, but I'm not out there yet, because I'm in such a public job, which is all about upholding standards of behaviour. And any throwaway remark that I might make to a pal, or a dodgy photo, or whatever, which clearly there's no dodgy photos of me, but if there were to be one, if that was leaked to the Daily Record, you know, that could cause a whole lot of problems for me. So it's just to think about that. And for workers in particular, it's really important that people remember to be respectful, not to reveal confidential information, and not to get involved in something that starts off as banter and then turns into abuse. Unfortunately, what we've been seeing in the SSSC is that the fastest growing subject of conduct referrals is online behaviour. And this isn't us going out and looking for that stuff. It's colleagues out there in workplaces being appalled at their own colleagues' behaviour and reporting that. And I'm sure I'm not the only one that's regretted sending a text occasionally. You think, oh God, why did I not think before I did that? Or even an email. And that's bad enough. But when you're in the world of the web, it's out there and it can spread virally very quickly and over very long distances. So we need to remember that the codes of practice apply to life out with work as well as within work. But I'm not going to go on about that. Here endeth the lesson I wrote in my speech. What this is about is all about common sense. And I think, like many employers, we are currently developing our own social media policies so that, to help our staff, to help keep themselves and the organisation safe. But the starting point for that is, this is a good thing. Get into it and use it, but engage your brain first. So other than the potential for endless global chat, what is all the fuss about with this world? Well, as we can see from this gadget and from iPods and iPod touches and all that kind of stuff, the kit gets more portable every day. The functions get more flexible and more sophisticated by the minute. You can access information, support, communication anywhere, anytime. And you can create imaginary worlds where people learn and can practice what they've learned in a safe but a realistic environment. You'll all know that Dundee is the UK kind of computer gaming capital, and some of that technology is now being used to underpin learning and development materials. Instead of playing The Sims or Grand Theft Auto, you can learn how to make an effective child protection decision or how to take a new approach to youth justice. So I hope that, as Alison said, this event will get you thinking. It'll help you to think about how you can shape and reshape workforce development for social services to ensure that the workforce and practice and learning are all fit to meet the needs and the challenges and expectations that face us over the next 10 to 15 years. So I hope you really enjoy the day. I know that I'm going to.